All right, everybody, welcome into the Brent and Chuck Big Story Podcast.
Good to see you, Chuck. What do we got planned for
edition,
us today?
What edition is this? Five? Four?
This is probably six.
Six? No kidding.
I think so.
Hold on, man. How do you like that professional fade?
Yeah, that was good, Chuck.
Oh, that's one of my heroes there. A couple of my heroes, Phil Keaggy and Randy Stonehill.
All right. Well, good.
So, thanks, they're before your time.
Yeah.
Whoops. Sorry.
All right, Chuck. Why don't you get us started this
yeah, man. Well, afternoon. We're sitting here. It's a Thursday afternoon when we're recording this. No, it's Wednesday afternoon. I'm sorry. When we're recording our podcast here. And, of course, we keep looking at the radar because they're telling us that, you know, we're fixing to get dumped on. But the sky hasn't changed since
That's right. It's pretty, we got it's pretty, here today. Pretty clear so, right now.
We're wondering what's out there in the future for us.
It's coming. Something's coming, that's for sure.
It's sort of like the return of Christ. Our eyes are focused, you know, and we just don't know when it's coming.
I don't think it is.
Is that right?
No, I don't think so, Chuck. We got like radars and we got like percentages, and the return of Christ is, I think, is a little bit more unknown. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, we are in the middle of Exodus, if you're tracking along with us on the big story. And just getting finished with the plagues.
We're just getting finished with plagues. We just got through with Passover. And then if you read today's, it's about God providing in the wilderness the manna from heaven and those kind of things.
Yeah. Isn't that a beautiful... that's a beautiful picture of God providing that food for his people.
Oh, yeah. And it also doesn't fall short of saying how stubborn and stupid they are, but not
that's
obeying.
True. I'm trying to look at it from the positive standpoint.
Yeah, that's right. There's the positive and the negative. So it's both there.
What I really liked about that part, too, is what the word meant.
Yeah. And that
Do you remember what the word means?
Go ahead and remind me what you're talking about.
What manna, what it means. What?
What?
That's what the word means.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and get in with
Did you not see that?
No, I must have missed that. I just...
Come on, you're
the
language guy, right?
I thought it was just bread from heaven.
No, the word means what?
It's good, Chuck.
They didn't know what to call it. I think it's what it is. And so the word means what?
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I didn't see that in my word study for the week.
You did?
I just read through
the
passage.
Well, you have to use the inspired study Bible.
Oh, okay.
In order to get that.
I've just been reading through a strict Bible translation, so there might be something wrong. but anyways, we want to get into our topic, and that is we want to talk about a little bit about Passover, how it relates to children, and then communion, and what that means for us today. So,
if you were here last Sunday, one of the points that I made in the message that's going on, especially the first part of Exodus, is God is distinguishing his people from the Egyptians.
That's right.
And then the other nations as they make their way toward the promised land.
Absolutely.
And so he's setting his people apart. So it's obvious that God's people are set apart from the others.
Absolutely. And then we get into the Passover meal or the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, however you want to look at it. And they're to partake of it. And when they do, they're to tell their children why. Why are we doing this? And what the Lord has done for us as a people group. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we know the most famous Passover meal happens that Thursday night before Christ dies. But he kind of fulfills it or kind of gives it a new meaning. And tell us about that. What does he do? Because we're going to do communion this Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, Christ identifies himself as the bread of heaven.
That's right.
In fact, he's done that even before the Passover, right?
Right, absolutely.
Then he also says, this is the covenant of my blood.
Right.
So Christ is the elements himself become the elements of the Passover meal that these Jewish guys, his disciples, have been passing along, or they knew the story
right
to begin with. I'm sure it was a beautiful night for them to go, oh, wow, now we can see how the story fits and
that's is right.
fulfilled here.
That's right. And so then he says the famous words that as often as you do this, do this in remembrance of me, and you're proclaiming my death for as long as you do this. And then we get even more clearer instruction when we get to Paul's writings in Corinthians, where he says, don't take this in an unholy manner. Make sure you examine yourselves in the community of believers before you do this. And so what do you think of some of the implications for us then as we seek to take it this Sunday for us individually and our children and all that?
Yeah,
what do you
well, think the implications we are going to have communion this coming Sunday for those of you who are listening to this prior to our Sunday service. We try to do a good job, sometimes we're better than others, of making sure that we do this time of examination of our own hearts and our own minds. We teach in our membership class that those who are in a right relationship with God through Christ are the ones who are to partake of the communion elements. And as well, we teach in there a right relationship with one another.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
In the body.
That's right. That's right.
So I think the thing that we need to think about, and we'll talk about how this applies to us in families, is obviously because God distinguished his people, and he continues to do that.
Right.
Only those who are distinguished as his are the ones to benefit from the Passover, if we want to keep the Exodus and the Gospels together.
which has now been defined as communion, which is a fulfillment really of the Passover promise. No, absolutely. And so one of the things, of course, that sets us apart, and you talked about our membership, is that we believe that the way that you enter into the kingdom of God, or the way that you become a faithful believer or Christian, is public profession followed by baptism. We hold that truth by conviction.
Yep.
So what does that mean for us now as we come to take the Lord's Supper?
Yeah, well, for Northbrookers, public profession or public confession happens here at our church for the most part at baptism.
Right.
If you come to faith while you are in our community of faith,
that's right,
your public confession happens at baptism.
That's
now,
right.
If you came from another church, you were converted at another church, hopefully you made a public confession at their church.
Right. And really, when you talk along those lines and coming from another church, we're really talking about someone who's visiting, because you're either brought up within our church or you're visiting at some level, and we're glad you're here for any given Sunday that we might be taking communion. But
well, also maybe someone has joined, covenanted with us from another church, and their initial public confession of faith was there.
That's right. That's okay. Right. But then once they covenant and join with us, now they're saying that we desire to be convictionally where you guys are at.
That's
convictionally.
Right. Yes.
And so in that sense, they're choosing to bring up themselves and their family with us now, because they've joined with
us.
Right. And so,
so I think it's important to make sure our children understand this aspect of who God's people are and how we give evidence of that.
That's right.
All right. So, there have been times, and I don't think our church is the only one that tries to monitor this, where children do not understand the distinguishing aspect of who we are as God's people, and so they, because maybe their parents haven't explained it to them, like we said, you know, it was supposed to happen in Exodus, or whatever.
Maybe it hasn't become true in their hearts yet. I mean, they understand, but they don't yet believe.
Well, that's true. But what I mean is their parents haven't explained to them the distinguishing aspect of this ordinance.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so, parents that are listening to us, please make sure that when we do observe the Lord's Supper together, that your children understand this is to be observed by those whom God has distinguished as his.
That's exactly right.
And we pray that day come soon for you.
Right.
And when it does, we will celebrate this, the blood and the bread, the body and the blood of Christ together as a family.
Right. And I let me just say something. You said the word ordinance, and maybe not everybody understands what we mean when we say that. When we believe as Baptists by conviction that there's kind of two main ordinances for the church, and that is baptism and Lord's Supper. And these things is part of what it means to be a church. And so so we're saying, and I think rightly so, those two kind of go hands in hand. And that is that when you make your public profession of faith, that follows with baptism, and then we are so excited now to welcome you to the Lord's table as a believer.
Yeah. Right.
And so what the implications are for our children who, again, are brought up in our church, because we're not talking about people who are visiting or come from outside, but those that are brought up in our church, is that you will help your student, your child, come to faith if you say, okay, we're so glad that you're understanding. We're so glad that you're growing with us as a family, but it'll be most helpful if you wait to participate in this once you've made your public profession and have been baptized.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the same for baptism,
right?
Wouldn't you say? Because we do have children. See a friend baptized. Hey,
right.
When can I do that?
That's exactly right.
And it's the same kind of a deal when a parent could say, you know, as you understand what Christ has done.
That's exactly right.
And it becomes personal to you.
Right.
This is what follows.
That's exactly right. And see, that has a good, healthy, eager expectation for our families.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's really what we're going for here, because where we're at as a church, we just, as far as it's up to us, we just don't want to confuse anybody about what this means and about their own standing before God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just a way to say, you know what, we just don't want to confuse anybody.
Yeah, it could add to a false assurance if we're not careful.
Yeah.
And we've just got to be. And it's okay, moms and dads, it's okay to make sure your kids understand this and to say, it's not time.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not time for you to do this yet, but there will be a time.
Oh, yeah.
And
we're praying
for that.
That's
it's
exactly
okay
right.
to say that to them.
Yeah, yeah. It won't crush their spirits beyond repair or something like that. I think sometimes that it's hard for us. And, of course, I'm fixing to have a child on the way. You've got one already, but I think it's, and I know there may be some listening where, you know, their kids, they don't know about their salvation. They don't know if they're a believer.
Yeah.
And it's tough because you don't really want to go there. But what we're saying is that we think it's probably most helpful if we all kind of accurately, as far as it's up to us, try to discern where we are with God so that we can then lead them to where God has them.
Yeah. And maybe just as a closing thought here, I think one of the reasons why this is incredibly important for us as parents and as friends who may have lost relationships with lost friends,
okay?
God's holiness demands that we don't mess with this. You know, we're not going to compromise when it comes to what He has done for His people.
Right.
And this is not something that you just do because you can do it. This is something because God is holy, and we've got to maintain and recognize His holiness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And when He's done this work in your heart, what a joyful rejoicing it'll be when you're able to understand.
Yeah.
Look at what I get to partake in remembrance of Christ.
Good stuff.
All right. Well.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the podcast. We hope you have a great rest of the week. Stay in Exodus. We'll see you Sunday.